This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Coming today, we'll start with Reverend Chris Andrews. For more than two decades, he was pastor of First United Methodist Church in Baton Rouge. He's still active with Jubilee Pioneers and other endeavors, and he will be talking about the enduring popularity of President Trump with white evangelicals who voted about 4-1 for the president in the 2016 election, and that trend looks like it would continue if the president seeks re-election, which he says he will. Also, Dr. Ricky Hill, he is chairman of the political science department at Jackson State University. In 1970, he was a freshman at Southern University, and a couple of years later, an infamous shooting that took the lives of Denver Smith and Leonard Brown in 1972, two slayings that have never been solved. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana on WRKF. Ali Baltazar and Becca Dill are producing. Our guest to begin is the Reverend Chris Andrews. Later we'll hear from the chair of the Political Science Department at Jackson State University, Dr. Ricky Hill. He was there in 1972 when two Southern University students were killed at Southern. The deaths have never been solved. The murders, or if you want to call them murders, and many do, Denver Smith and Leonard Brown were killed on November 16, 1972. Chris Andrews is here to talk about President Trump. 61% of white evangelicals think the country is on the right track. And according to exit polling results in the 2016 election, 81% of white evangelicals voted for President Trump. Of course, the story would be much different if we were to cite polls of black evangelicals. But President Trump has certainly embraced this support he has received from this group. Chris Andrews, 21 years, as pastor of First United Methodist, now involved with Jubilee Pioneers, and the last 6 years involved intricately in the Baton Rouge community with Rebuilding Together Baton Rouge. Before we hear from Reverend Andrews, here's President Trump speaking a while back at Liberty University, the university founded by Jerry Falwell, a speech that was partly written by Tony Perkins. And when you hear the president, it's apparent that if he's not using a teleprompter, as he was not here, he is all over the lot when he starts talking. It is truly a stream of consciousness. But here's how he sounded at Liberty University.
And we're going to protect Christianity. And I can say that. I don't have to be politically correct. We're going to protect it. You know? And I asked Jerry and I asked some of the folks, because I hear this is a major theme right here, but 2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. That's the whole ballgame. Where the Spirit of the Lord, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And here there is Liberty College, but Liberty University. But it is so true. You know, when you think, and that's really, is that the one? Is that the one you like? I think that's the one you like, because I loved it. And it's so representative of what's taken place. But we are going to protect Christianity. And if you look what's going on throughout the world, you look at Syria, where they're, if you're Christian, they're chopping off heads. You look at the different places, and Christianity, it's under siege. I'm a Protestant. I'm very proud of it. Presbyterian, to be exact. But I'm very proud of it. Very, very proud of it. And we've got to protect, because bad things are happening. Very bad things are happening. And we don't, I don't know what it is, we don't band together, maybe. Other religions, frankly, they're banding together and they're using it. Here we have, if you look at this country, it's got to be 70%, 75%, some people say even more, the power we have. Somehow we have to unify, we have to band together, we have to do really, in a really large version, what they've done at Liberty, because Liberty University has done that. You've band together, you've created one of the great universities, colleges, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, and that's what our country has to do, that around Christianity. So get together, folks, and let's do it, because we can do it.
All right. That's Donald Trump at Liberty University. Chris Andrews, your thoughts? Reverend Andrews.
The president continues to... for me, just mystify me. I mean, that just that monologue there a moment ago, I was thinking, imagine if Sarah Palin had done that. What would the press have done with that? Remember her off with Putin? I mean, it just doesn't have any basis in rational thinking, in my opinion.
2 Corinthians 3:17,
right.
That's what the president called it, and he says, quote, that's the whole ballgame.
The whole ballgame. And I think because the word liberty is in that verse of Scripture, and he focused on that. So we are living in strange times, Jim. And as you opening remarks cited, there is this tremendous support among white evangelicals for Mr. Trump, which, frankly, as a follower of Jesus and as a man who's given himself to ministry for now many, many years, I'm just dumbfounded by that, because there seems to be a whole disconnect between what Jesus said, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, read those few chapters in Matthew 5 through 7, and what we are doing as a nation, what Mr. Trump represents, what he's done, what he said, that people are supporting him on the basis of their faith orientation is absolutely beyond the pale, in my opinion.
877-217-5757 is your number, 297-5633, and talk at talklouisiana.org. And a few listeners have already noted that the president's transgressions were enough, or would have been enough, to destroy other political operatives, but not this president of the United States. And he rolls merrily along. And Tony Perkins, the Baton Rougean, who heads the Family Research Council, says he gets a mulligan. What do you think of this?
Well, I all for people getting mulligans, but the fact that he continues to generate this kind of support from people whose orientation should be, it seems to me, causing them to question and bring to the fore some issues about Mr. Trump and his behavior, his remarks. My goodness.
Well, he's going to run for re-election, and my guess, Chris Andrews, is that he will get this kind of support again from white evangelicals. I mentioned the story is much different among black evangelicals. But
yes, and the story is different in other sectors of the faith community. I mean, there's a progressive wing. There are people who do not go along with Donald Trump, and, you know, that's as it should be. I guess that's what America's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But his verbiage is some would say, not Christian-like. He certainly doesn't talk like Jesus did. Doesn't look like Jesus did, according to what we've been taught. Here we have this middle-aged man who is largely out of shape, who talks about beating people up, and he's had affairs with porn stars and Playboy playmates while his wife is at home with their infant child. And yet he's embraced by people who are sincere and believe that his support of gun rights and abortion, anti-abortion measures, that those literally, to pardon the pun, trump everything else.
Well, you're right. And I think what we're dealing with here in a deeper sense is the difference between Orthodox Christianity and civil religion. And those two get blended quite often in American society. And I think that's what we're seeing evidence of now. Orthodoxy has been thrown out the window. And what's come in its place is a civil religion that sort of is a pseudo-Christianity, if you will, and it assuages people's fears and what have you, but it's far from what Jesus was about.
Now, the presidents who were loved the most by the so-called Christian right, Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump, to name a few, they rarely, if ever, went to church.
Isn't that
occasionally,
something?
But
yeah.
But. And I think you would be first to say that you don't have to be a person of faith to go. You don't have to go to church to be a person of faith. But that is something that usually evangelicals hold near and dear.
Yes, and you know, I guess that's part of the mulligan business. They just let them have a pass on that. And I agree. You don't have to go to church to be a person of faith. But when you're courting that particular constituency, it seems like you'd want to show up and rub shoulders with them every once in a while.
Bobby Jindal did that.
He did.
To a fault. And of course, he got criticized for it. So yep. Sometimes you can't win either way.
Right.
877-217-5757. Timothy in Bocage, you're on the air with Reverend Chris Andrews. Hi, Timothy.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Fine.
Good. I'm an evangelical Christian who voted for Trump, but I'm not at all enthusiastic about Trump. I think all the things you said about him, you know, with porn stars and all the rest is reprehensible. But when it comes down to a choice between someone who's going to choose members of the Supreme Court who'll be more conservative and vote in a more who will rule based upon how they view the Constitution to have been written and not personal choice, when it comes to tax cuts, when it comes to things like free development of energy, which in the long run helps the poor, when it comes to a growing economy, I just felt like he was a better choice than Hillary Clinton. Not that I at all support his lifestyle. I find that awful, and it was a very tough vote. But I think there's a lot of Christians who voted for Trump, not because they respect him as a human being. They just thought he would make better political decisions.
And Timothy, would you be inclined to vote for him again? Would you support him in 2020? Oop, we lost Timothy.
Yeah.
I gather from what he was saying that he believes the president has delivered on a lot of those promises he made.
Well, he has, and you can't take that away from him. But I guess what Timothy's saying is, sometimes democracy's a messy business. You have to hold your nose when you pull that lever because there are some very flawed people out there. I'm one of them.
I think we all are. 877-217-5757. We're back after this pause for Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar and Becca Dill are producing, and your number is 297-5633. Locally in Baton Rouge, 877-217-5757. Everywhere else, and talk@talklouisiana.org is our email address. Program note that Monday, former Congressman Bob Livingston will be with us for most of the hour, and I had a conversation with him the other day, and he is extremely bullish on President Trump, thinks he's doing a fabulous job. So this is not an attack on the president. It's just an analysis of where we are, and it is curious that despite the president's flaws, and as Chris Andrews said, we all have them, but the president has some that would have destroyed other candidates and office holders. But 61% of white evangelicals think the country's on the right track, and 81% of them who are self-identified voted for the president in 2016. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta, you're on the air with Reverend Andrews.
Bob Livingston, a serial adulterer. Many evangelical said when President William Jefferson Clinton was in office, that it wasn't about the law, it was character, or it wasn't about sex, rather, it was about character. Well, Jesus said, "Woe to you hypocrites." Where are these same evangelicals with President Donald J. Trump's horrid history of adultery and cheating and lying and defrauding and scandals?
All right. David in Atlanta is not a fan of the president, and He mentions all these allegations, and some cases more than allegations, revelations about the president. But some people say, look, I just don't care. And there's been a distinction made on this show a few times by supporters of his, more than a few times, that most, if not all, of the transgressions that we've been talking about happened before he took office. That seems to be the dividing line, that everything up until January 20th, 2017, all of those were, quote, as Gene Mills said, youthful indiscretions. Reverend Andrews, your thoughts?
Well, you know, that may be, and I don't know that the baggage that anyone would bring with them after living, what, almost 70 years, how old's the president, 71?
72.
72. Everybody's got baggage, and so, yeah, okay, let's let that go. More concern to me is, what are the policies that this particular administration are putting forth? I mean, the immigration crisis, the separation of children from their parents. I mean, these are ethical matters as far as I'm concerned. And as a country, I would hope we would follow an ethical path that is based on respect of human decency and family staying together. I mean, here's a person, and to make the kinds of comments that are made, say, just recently by the president with regard to Iran, and if you insult us, if you say bad things about us, you will suffer in ways. I mean,
if you just say them.
Yeah, that's bullying. I mean, that is nothing but bullying. And it's that kind of thing that gives me pause and concern about our president.
Today in the New York Times, a story about the president and his relationship with the media. Jim Acosta, the square-jawed CNN correspondent, has stood out among the White House press corps for on-air monologues about the importance of the First Amendment. And during a tense White House briefing yesterday, he challenged Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders to disavow the president's description of journalists as, quote, the enemy of the people. Sarah Sanders declined to do so, saying she had been personally attacked in the media and had faced threats since starting her job. Your thoughts about this full-fledged attack on the media from the president and the White House?
Well, there again, I think that most politicians have had their hackles raised by the media because the media can be tough. But that's their job. And part of what is a bedrock of this country is a free and open press and the right to query elected officials and others and see what is going on behind the curtains and to hopefully report the truth. I know that there's a lot of question about, well, just what is the truth and about all this fake news and that kind of thing. But to me, one of the greatest things we have in America is a free press. And that should be respected and treated with great care and never attacked.
Barry in Mid-City. Hi, Barry. You're on the air with Reverend Andrews.
Hey, Reverend Andrews.
Hello,
good
Reverend.
Good morning. I am thinking of our wonderful journey to Israel. Gosh, your congregation and Congregation B'nai Israel, 20 years ago, maybe?
At least, Barry.
Yeah. So I'd like to just suggest briefly, it's wonderful to hear your voice and Jim, and to inquire, how do you feel about President Trump's policies on Israel, Jerusalem, embassy, etc.?
Well, Barry, it's good to hear your voice, too. You and I probably are a little different on this particular issue because I think, again, while I am wholeheartedly support Israel and think it is a wonderful nation with it's a part of my heritage as it is a part of, you know, the Judeo-Christian heritage. I think it is also true that there are no real white hats in this world. No one is perfect. No country is perfect. And frankly, I think that Israel bears some responsibility for some actions that I would not support vis-a-vis the Palestinians. The Palestinians bear responsibility that I don't support either. I mean, that's the thing. But you can't say that one is right and the other is wrong. It's a mix.
Thank you, Barry Weinstein. 877-217-5757 is your number. Still time to get in with Reverend Chris Andrews. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Chris Andrews.
Yeah, Reverend, does it seem that religion is just a patina over who gets a bigger piece of the economic pie and has political power? And Catholics versus Protestants in Northern Ireland, Jews versus Muslims, and Shiites versus Sunnis in the Middle East? And here in the U.S., whether Jesus Christ was the human decency or just everybody's got to look out for number one?
Not sure I followed all that, but I think that, you know, I've said this publicly, that I think the world would be better off without religion. I really wish we could dump it in the river and be done with it. But the problem is we human beings are incurably religious. We're going to worship something, go to the most ancient sites where people have been. You find objects of worship. That's one of the things that they were doing in the beginning, and we continue to do it now. So why not then have the best religion that we can have? And from my perspective, that means love and compassion. Forget the doctrines. Forget all of this stuff about who's in and who's out. Let's live with love and compassion and do that for one another, to one another. Treat our adversaries with love and compassion. Treat our friends with love and compassion. It will take us a long way, and that's good religion.
Well, Chris Andrews gets down in the trenches. He's been involved in building homes in North Baton Rouge, a place where many people in our community, especially white folks, don't like to go, but he does it on a regular basis. And he is a man who works with his hands in addition to being a, quote, man of the cloth. The president, like a few other presidents, is not somebody who really knows what is happening in everyday America. The other day I heard him give a speech and he said, you had to show your ID to buy groceries now. I've never had to show ID to buy groceries, Chris Andrews, and I've been to a lot of places.
No, you don't. Do you know, you say something enough, it becomes a part of the fabric of fact that people think is reality. And we all need to do some hard thinking, and we need to check things out. And it's not true that you show ID for your groceries.
But he is a charismatic person, and if the election were held today, and my guess when the election is held in 2020, he may not win in Louisiana. I mean, he may not win nationally, but he'll carry Louisiana.
He'll carry Louisiana, and if he wins or if he loses, he has already made an indelible print on the office and on this country.
877-217-5757. We'll talk with Chris Andrews about a few matters as we move along, and then we'll hear from Dr. Ricky Hill at Jackson State University about the terrible tragedy that happened at Southern University almost 46 years ago, the deaths of two students who were involved in a nonviolent protest, Denver Smith and Leonard Brown. But back with Chris Andrews, we'll even get his assessment of the music scene when one of his great idols, Neil Diamond. Now the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana and a few more minutes with Chris Andrews. If you'd like to get in and join the conversation before we go to Dr. Ricky Hill and even after, the number is 877-217-5757. Locally in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. And you can email us anytime at talk@talklouisiana.org. We're discussing President Trump's enduring popularity with white evangelicals. 61% of the white evangelicals polled say the country is on the right track, and 81% voted for President Trump in 2016. Is this going to be similar in 2020? Many believe it will, and that would mean that Democrats would have to find support in other quarters other than white evangelicals. And a couple of questions from listeners online. Here's one, and we've talked about it. Steve asks, why do white evangelicals and black evangelicals view the political world so differently, Chris Andrews?
Well, you know, what you see is determined by where you stand, and white people and black people have different experiences largely in this society. And I think that's the reason for the difference there. You know, Jim, one piece of the faith tradition that I think is sorely lacking today is the prophetic piece. You can think of faith as having sort of being a three-legged stool. You have the pastoral, you have the priestly, and the work of the prophet. And the prophet is the one who always speaks truth to power. And we today, I think, need some prophets, not only for our own country, but for this world. Usually being a prophet was not very profitable, if you will. They got run out of town. They got thrown in jail. But we need some prophets. And that word calls for justice. And that, to me, is one of the things that I think is not being discussed or wrestled with by many in our society today.
David on Millerville says great men are often tempted by Satan, and that President Trump is a, quote, great man who has been tempted with the great things in life, if you can call porn stars great things, but that's my statement, not David's. But the president, he believes, should be given mercy because we all fall short of the grace of God.
We do. And I think he should be given mercy, too, and I'm all for that. But I also ask for our leader to bring justice to this world, and I think some of his policies are contrary to that.
So Bosch at the Country Club. So Bosch, good morning. You're on with Chris Andrews.
How are you, Mr. Andrews? Thank you for this occasion so that I could express some real concern. The so-called evangelicals, if they know what is evangelicalism, and the first tenet is conversionism, which means justification by faith in Christ and repentance and turning away from sin. If that is the basis of evangelicalism, how can you support Trump?
Well, that's the question that we've been sort of mulling over here this morning, and it is a perplexing.
That is, if you have to hold your breath and vote, I might as well vote for Mafia.
What I found is in about 95, and it may even be more than that, let's say 98% of the cases, those who voted for Mr. Trump in 2016 are inclined to vote for him again, and those who voted against him are not inclined. And so, Sabash, my guess is that you voted against him in 2016. Would I be correct?
Yes, of course. But at that time, you won't believe. My impression of Mr. Trump was far more positive. I mean, in fact, I was thinking at one time, should I vote for Mrs. Clinton or her or him? Because he had the populist things. He talked about infrastructure. He talked about people, poverty, and, you know, all these things. But that was all smoke and mirrors. I mean, that was only to fool us. I'm sorry. I'm glad I didn't fall for it, but I almost fell for it. So I don't come from a completely solid opposition to him. Yes, you can say, okay, some people make mistakes, some people have, you know, made some ethical mistakes, but that's not the problem. The problem is he's nothing but a bully. He wants to pick up wars. He was against the war, but now he wants to go attack Iran, I mean, everybody. And then, most than that, he believes in taxes only for the 1%. And what I understood is, for example, I used to be criticized by my own friends. Hey, you live in the country club and you are not a Republican. So we have this tendency to believe secretly that we are all millionaires.
By the way, I heard Dave Ramsey, who knows a little about these things, there are only 11 million millionaires in the United States. How about that?
Is that right?
About 325 million people.
Hmm. Well,
but
I'm not one of them.
Well, it's a group that surprisingly includes a lot of liberals.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
And that's why the Citizens United decision, as some of us believe, it was a bad decision by the Supreme Court. It has not caused Democrats to be non-competitive in political races, because there are a lot of rich liberals out there who give for their political persuasion.
That's right.
Okay, Gaston on Highland, you'll be our final caller for Reverend Andrews. Hi, Gaston. You're on the air with Reverend Chris Andrews.
Well, thank you for taking my call. A couple of little items. I wanted to make sure everybody understands Jesus loves sinners, and without sinning, ain't no saving. But aside from that, it seems as though our voters have turned to conviction rather than factual basis for their policies, including our president. You know, he's playing both cards. He was a Democrat, pro-choice. Now he's a Republican, pro-life. He's a salesman. But it's unfortunate that we've come to this point in our democracy that we allow the head of our country to bully other individuals when we frown upon it for our children to do that. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But one other last little thing. I do think we should abolish TOPS and start making education a priority for all of our children from.
All right. That's a topic that we've delved into and will again. And it's one that I doubt that President Trump is talking about TOPS in Washington. But it's a big issue here and will continue to be. And appreciate your passion, Gaston. But Louisiana is an interesting place, Chris Andrews, and in the entire South, there's only one deep South state that has a Democratic governor. His name is John Bel Edwards, and next year is an election year. And John Bel Edwards, like all the Republican officials, is not really out in the front criticizing the president of the United States. In Louisiana, any political consultant would tell them it wouldn't be very good politics.
No, it's not good politics. You'd be really hurting yourself if you did that right now.
And before we go, I wanted to mention your affinity for one Neil Diamond, who for many years would come to Louisiana. He's performed in New Orleans and Baton Rouge many, many times. I saw him 25 years ago at the
River Center. Right.
And he was magnificent on a Sunday night,
right
after Rodney Pierce had been acquitted, by the
That's
way.
Right. That's
you
right.
You remember that,
I
don't
do.
You?
I do. Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
he has Parkinson's.
He does have Parkinson's, unfortunately, and it's sad for that. Neil Diamond has been, for me, just sheer pleasure. I love his music and move deeply by it, and I think he's a brilliant artist.
All right. Dr. Ricky Hill from Jackson State University is on deck, and for those of you we were unable to get to with Chris Andrews, I'm sure you'll be back soon. Thank you, Reverend Andrews. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jim.
See you soon. And we're joined now by Dr. Ricky Hill of Jackson State University. He's chair of the Political Science Department, retiring at that fine institution, a member of the Southwestern Athletic Conference. But Ricky Hill was a student at Southern University in the year of 1972. He was an activist at Southern. And on November 16th, two students there, Denver Smith and Leonard Brown, were killed. This is something that Baton Rouge doesn't give a lot of attention to, but it was certainly an infamous day, November 16th, 1972, and no one has ever been charged in their killings. Governor Edwards ordered the state police onto the campus, and Dr. Hill, you were there. I'm sure you remember that day quite vividly.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Very, very vividly. Can recall pretty much every moment of that day. And in so many ways, I relive that day every year. So, yes, I have clear and vivid memory of that day.
Where were you when this happened?
Well, I was in the administration building along with several I guess it was probably almost close to several hundreds of students who were actually in the building. But as that morning wore on, there were several thousands and a few thousand students who came around the building. We had been engaged in a student boycott for a month up to that point. And one of the things that we did during that boycott was that every day we as students would go to each building that had classes in it, and you know, ask students to not attend class. So our estimation back then was that we had on a daily basis 80 to 90% class boycott. That is 80 or 90% of students who were attending Southern boycotting classes during that period of time. So I went over to the building along with several other students to ask President Netteville if he would go downtown and get the students who had been arrested at 4:30 that morning to get them out of jail.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to continue with Dr. Ricky Hill right after this brief pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Dr. Ricky Hill, chair of the Political Science Department at Jackson State, is with us. He is on the brink of retirement at Jackson State, but he was a student at Southern University in the early 1970s. And on November 16th, 1972, Denver Smith and Leonard Brown, two Southern students involved with Students United, a protest group on campus, were shot and killed outside the Southern Old Auditorium, which is now the Museum of Art. They were taking part in an unarmed protest by African-American students who gathered at the university's administration building to protest against the administration officials and their policies. Protests were ongoing as students fought for a greater voice in school affairs and the resignation of certain administrators. And Ricky Hill, you say that early that morning some students were incarcerated, and you talked with the school president, and that's when we went to the break. I wanted you to pick up where you left off with that story.
Yes, the president had had warrants issued against six of us, actually, back then. And at that time, Louisiana had a law that said, in effect, that if you were interfering with the ingress and egress in public buildings, that you could be charged with a felony. And so they had these warrants issued, two of which was issued the Tuesday, November night before, to against myself and Nathaniel Harris, late one night after we had left a meeting, and the sheriff deputies were on the campus, around the perimeter of the campus as well. And we had left the meeting and come through the campus to drop one of the students off. And as we were exiting the campus, we got stopped, and they let us go. But when we got on Scotland Highway, Scotlandville Highway, they stopped us again and arrested Nate Harris and I and took us to East Baton Rouge Parish Prison and charged us. And they had one of the administrators, the VP for administration, to come to the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison to inform us that we were now dismissed from Southern. And they took us downtown to the city jail, where we remained in jail up to mid-morning, before being released. Mm-hmm. So the other warrants were issued the following Tuesday. And we later on found out in court, of course, that they had intentions of issuing these warrants initially on campus at a rally that we were trying to organize, but that never happened. So what we did was to go over to President Nesbitt's office to ask that he go downtown and get the students out of jail. And he told us he would do that, and said that we should remain in the building in his office until he returned. And so we did that until we heard a lot of commotion outside, looked out the window, and there were throngs of sheriff deputies and state police, a tank called Big Bertha. And at that moment, we decided that all the women students would remain in the building and the men students would go outside. And so we went outside and assembled on the steps and the two columns there on the steps. Had no idea that they were coming, any weapons, any tear gas, anything like that, let alone weapons. And so they proceeded to throw tear gas at us, and as we were trying to run away from the tear gas from in front of the building, they shot Denver Smith and Leonard Brown. We found out later on in court that they were actually aiming at Herget Harris, who was one of the leaders among us, and they recognized Herget right away because he wore a green helmet, army helmet. And so they could recognize him. They also recognized me because I happen to have on a green shirt, a green wool shirt that I had worn essentially as a jacket. It was a heavy a wool jacket shirt. And so when they started throwing the tear gas, many of us ran between the administration building and the chapel building. And on the back of those buildings, of course, was the Bluff and the Mississippi River. Uh-huh. Was running there, and so we tried to escape that way. And so we were scattered everywhere. It was like watching a war movie, actually, with the tear gas, dropping smoke everywhere and so forth. So that's the long and short of it. So we believe that President Nettleville was going to actually go down and get these students out of jail. We had no idea that they had ordered the state police and the sheriff deputies to come on campus. And so when the melee of all of this tear gas was being thrown, students were running everywhere. And there were a great deal of students who were out there, both right in front of the building and also on the lawn in front of the building and across the street.
All right. These two men, Denver Smith and Leonard Brown, you must have known them pretty well. What kind of people were they?
Well, Leonard Smith and Leonard and Denver and I started school at Southern together as freshmen. Denver was especially a very quiet guy, but very conscientious, but a very quiet guy. Leonard was a bit more extroverted, if you will, but they were both diligent students, as I recall. They were quite friendly students, you know. And, of course, at Southern, once you got there and you begin to know people, begin to learn people, and you got to knowing, got a sense of what a Southern student was like. So everybody got to know each other in some way or another. And Denver and Leonard were two persons who were well, you know, known and liked among the freshman class.
We're visiting with Dr. Ricky Hill, chair of the Political Science Department at Jackson State. He's a native of Bogalusa, a city that, as we know, was torn by violence during the civil rights era. And he was there. Ricky Hill was, November 16th, 1972. It was a Thursday at Southern University, and Smith and Brown were taking part in a peaceful protest when these shots were fired. As you say, tear gas was used. Even a tank was present at Southern University. And do you think you know who killed them?
Well, from the best that we could figure out, because we were actually brought to court, and the state judge, you know, permanently barred us from the campus. So in testimony in the court, we surmised that that it was likely the local some members of the sheriff deputy units that were there. There were both state police and sheriff deputies there. Before this went down, this occurred. There had been a shootout in downtown Baton Rouge between sheriff deputies, East Baton Rouge Parish sheriff deputies, and some renegade members of the Nation of Islam, who at the time was going across the country, as they said it at that time, to you know, defend black people, as it were. And I don't know the details of the shootout, but we found out, of course, that some of the sheriff deputies who had been in that shootout were also on that campus that day. And it came out in court that though both the sheriff deputies and the state police had been told that they were not to bring live ammunition, some of them brought live ammunition. So the People's Tribunal and at the time Attorney General's Gus's in investigation led to the conclusion that perhaps the live ammunition was fired by sheriff deputies.
What do you think, Dr. Hill, the legacy of this is? It's something that I see my friend Ed Pratt remembers this every November 16th in The Advocate, but beyond him and a few others, it's largely forgotten. Right. But is it an important event that ranks with some of the major happenings in the civil rights movement?
Well, no question. Let me just try to make three quick points. One is that you know, in Louisiana at that time, the civil rights movement was quite evident, you know, coming out of the mid-1960s. In Bogalusa, where I'm from, you know, the civil rights movement started there in January of 1965 to test the city's compliance with the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So you had a number of students coming to Southern who had grown up in the civil rights movement. And Southern, of course, had students from all over the country and a few students from across the world. And so you had students who, in fact, had come of age in the broader civil rights movement and what was then referred to as the liberation movement, as it were. So that's one thing. So we came to Southern already imbued with a sense of possibility about change. The other second point I'll make is that when I got to Southern, there were students who had been part of a long tradition of students at Southern trying to make Southern relevant, trying to make it responsible to the immediate community of Scotlandville, trying to be involved in the local activities there. At that time, there were no black elected officials from Scotlandville. There were no black members of the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board. And of course, you know, they had just begun the process of getting black people elected to the legislature. In fact, it was students at Southern who was responsible for helping Turnley become the first black from the Scotland area to be elected to the state house.
Okay, we do have to roll, but Dr. Ricky Hill, we will be calling on you again. Certainly it'd be good to have you back on the anniversary of this tragedy that happened almost 46 years ago at Southern University, November 16th, 1972. On a happier note, Tony Bennett, the legendary singer, is 92 years old today. He'll be at the Sanger in New Orleans in 3 weeks on the 25th. And for those unfamiliar with the great Tony Bennett, as we part company today, here he is with his signature song, the legendary Anthony Benedetto, better known as Tony Bennett.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay.